Thank you. So I'll just get all my bits and pieces here. Bigger space. We're looking at New Wine Value 10. I know there's still a few in between to do, but it's New Wine Value 10 this morning, which is Word and Spirit. And it says, we want to derive all we believe, teach, and do from the Bible as the written Word of God, whilst also learning to hear and obey the voice of the Spirit speaking to us individually and collectively. So these passages, Genesis, in the beginning, verse 2, the Spirit of God is the first mover. So the Spirit is there, he begins the work, he's moving over the waters. In verse 3, God speaks. He says that there be light. So the Word of God is quick and powerful. He spoke and there was light. And in John's Gospel, John chapter 1, we read that Jesus is the Word and the true light. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, all three there together, right at the very beginning. John chapter 4, that's the third of our readings. Verse 19, the woman says, Sir, I can see you're a prophet. Jesus is hearing God. He is hearing God speaking to him, for that woman, in that place, at that time. Verse 24, Jesus says, God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Right relationship with God, worshipping in spirit, in tune with God, in truth, being sincere, being genuine from the heart. And he finishes in verse 26, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. God is a speaking God. The second of the passages in front of you is from 1 Corinthians. Paul is talking about his testimony. He said it hasn't come from secular wisdom. It hasn't come from words that are my own. He's not trying to be clever. There would have been a lot of people in Corinth as orators going around speaking very clever words to get the people's sort of praise of them, really. But he says these words are inspired by the Spirit. These are things of God revealed to us by the Spirit. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Explaining spiritual realities, but we have the mind of Christ. So this message of the Word, we've got the authoritative and living Word of God. We're talking about the Logos, which would fit well with the Bible proclaimed. Proclaimed as a message from the prophets and the apostles, as well as the final message of Jesus, the proclamation, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down in here, and then the Rhema word from God's mouth, spoken word, propelled by his Spirit, the breath of the Spirit. Peter reminded me of a bit that where we need both, and I don't know if I've got this right, but he said, if we have just the word, we dry up. If we have the Spirit, just the Spirit, we blow up. But if we have the Word and the Spirit both together, then we grow up. And so, I just want to talk briefly, and I know you've heard me already this morning, but just briefly about this morning is about the Word of God in our lives. We know that all Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's all of it. It's the New Testament and the Old Testament. It's not the cherry-picking bits that we have, or the verses out of context that suit our particular situation, without the extra bit in the verse that actually means we should be doing something else as well. It doesn't mean that. It means all of it. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we now have the Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit in us. So we ask the Holy Spirit really to show us what it means and to feed us through it. If we just read it as a book with nothing, it would be, apart from being deadly boring, particularly parts of it, but inspired by the Spirit, even the uninspired bits actually become inspiring, and there's something for us then in all of it. Secondly, now, we are living by faith. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're all there. We are in this kingdom of light, filled with the Holy Spirit. We're children of God, but we live by faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we haven't got the Word of God, we haven't got faith. And what is faith? Faith is what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I shall try and get the exact bit there. I should have written all these down, but sadly, because most of this came to me this morning, I didn't have time. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so we need this assurance and certainty from the spoken and living Word of God. The next thing about us now that we've been translated into this kingdom of light is we're in a spiritual battle, whether we are aware of it or not. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We might get irritated by people, but actually it's not the people. We might be upset by people, but it's not actually them. It's what's going on behind them. There's a whole spiritual battle out there, and we are in it. Ephesians 6:12 said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's not against other people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And that's what we're up against. But we don't need to be intimidated. We have this Word of God, and we can use it. We need to know who we are in Christ. We have authority in Christ. 1 John 5:18, "I'm a true child of God in the charge of God's only Son, Jesus Christ, and the evil one keeps his distance." We are seated at the right-hand side of God with Christ in the heavenly realms in our spirits now. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We have authority in the name of Jesus, and we have an armour to put on in Ephesians 6:10. And who is our example? Jesus. Jesus knew who he was. He's given us the same authority. We must know who we are in him, in Christ. He was in constant communion with the Father. He saw and heard what the Father wanted him to do. And so he only ever did what the Father was telling him to do at that particular time. So when he had this conversation with the Samaritan woman, it was totally inspired by God. And it brought the lady to faith. He didn't condemn her, he didn't say anything of his own. It was inspired by his Father. When he was tempted, he quoted scripture. He knew his scripture. And in Matthew 4:4, there's a sort of scriptural tennis match going on there between God and the devil. I know we have one starting at 12:30, but every time Jesus had to answer the devil, he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." It's interesting what goes on here. First of all, he quotes from Deuteronomy 8:3. He's starving, he's in the desert. The devil suggested he might like to turn the stones into bread and then he could have something to eat. He says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Deuteronomy 8:3. So then the devil takes him to a holy city, and the devil starts using scripture. He uses Psalm 91, 11:12 and suggests he throws himself off the cliff and the angels will come and rescue him. Does this faze Jesus? No. Why doesn't it? The devil's using scripture. The devil isn't inspired by the Holy Spirit. The devil doesn't use scripture in context. This is totally out of context. This comes from Psalm 91, where it's about us dwelling in the shelter of the Most High and having God's protection because we're living as his children under his shadow. It doesn't say about randomly throwing ourselves off cliffs or putting ourselves in places of danger, and he'll protect us. So Jesus isn't fazed by it. He just now quotes something in context. It's also written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test," Deuteronomy 6:16. The devil again comes back at him, and he comes back again. It is written, Deuteronomy 6:13, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And so Jesus uses scripture. He knew his scripture, he uses it, he quotes it, it protects him. The devil leaves him, he goes away. He can't beat that. It reminds me, actually, in the book, some of us have read the Blessing in Wales, Roy Godwin's book from Felda Brenin. And one day this woman, she's a New Age movement woman, turns up, and she says, "What I really don't like about you Christians is that you always say that Jesus is the only way to God, and surely that's not true." She said, "I can't bear that," and she wanted to argue about it. And he said, "Well, I've never said that." So she said, "But that's what Christians say." So he said, "It's not my words, they are the words of Jesus." He said, I suggest you go away," and he gave her passages to read, "and you talk to Jesus about it." And she persisted, and he said he almost pushed her out of the door. But she came back later, having read these passages, she was totally changed. She said, "Why didn't you tell me that before? Why didn't anyone else tell me?" She said, "Now I know what to believe." And the word of God had changed her life. She was looking, she was searching, but there was no point Roy Godwin trying to persuade her. He pointed her to scripture, the inspired word of God, and that changed her life. So we're called to make the right confession, aren't we? Words are very powerful. God spoke the universe into being. We know we can speak words that can crush people right down. I have to be very careful in school that I don't do that, because we know from experiences at school that we can carry words that have been said to us by adults years and years later. We can speak encouraging words that build people up. We can actually speak incorrectly sometimes, maybe flattering words that are for our own advantage. But whatever we say is powerful, and we are going to be held accountable for every word that we say. But we can speak negative or positive words about ourselves. The words of our mouth must agree with God's words, but we can say lots of things. And here I've got a little chart. It says God has the positive answer, and I'll put some down in the prayer space over there. But it's the sort of things that we say, like it's impossible. God says all things are possible. That comes from Luke 18:27. But I'll just run down all the negatives, and we'll identify with a lot of them. It's impossible. I'm too tired. Nobody really loves me. I can't go on. I can't figure things out. I can't do it. I'm not able. It's not worth it. I can't forgive myself. I can't manage. I'm afraid. I'm always worried and frustrated. I'm not clever enough. I feel all alone. How much of that can we identify with? A lot. Right, God says, and this sounds so encouraging, all things are possible. I will give you rest. I love you. My grace is sufficient for you. I will direct your steps. You can do all things. I am able. It will be worth it. I forgive you. I will supply all your needs. I have not given you a spirit of fear. Cast all your cares on me. I give you wisdom. I will never leave you or forsake you. So I'll put some of those down there. So to proclaim the word of God over our lives, to proclaim the truth, to tell ourselves the truth, is powerful, inspired by the word of God. We need to know the Father heart of God, and we need to be in right relationship with him. We need to know what he's saying to us, because this, all of it, is so encouraging as to how God treats the people he loves and how he wants us to respond to him, not in our ways, not the ways we think. And if we're not reading it, then we're sort of wandering around, not really knowing what we're doing, whether we're actually going his way or not his way, or whether we can hear. If we feel God's talking to us, we don't really know unless it's balanced by this. The bottom line is we do need to read our Bibles. But how much? I haven't actually got a pew sheet here, or have I? No, I haven't. If we come to church on Sundays, we will read that much. Quite a reasonable meal, would you say? It's all right. So we get that on Sundays. How about during the week? We might have thought for the day. Word for today. Excellent. That's the one for today. However, the piece from the scripture is, I delight to do your will, O my God. Truth from Psalm 40, verse 8. But it's a little bit, isn't it? The rest of it is good Christian wisdom, but it's not the word of God. So that bit. So I was sort of thinking to myself, if I come to church on Sunday and I get that much, that's a reasonable Sunday lunch. During the course of the week, I might read one of these little bits a day and then the bit of wisdom, but that is a bit like having a Rivita every day, I think, one Rivita. So if I was having Sunday lunch and then one Rivita every day till the next Sunday, or maybe I couldn't go to church the next Sunday, so I was having one Sunday lunch and then one Rivita a day for 2 weeks till I got to church again, how would I feel physically? I'd feel weak. I'd feel worn out. I'd feel irritable. I'd feel tired. I wouldn't be particularly approachable. I wouldn't be growing. I'd be wasting away. And it is the same with our spirits if we don't feed our spirits. Now, down at the bottom of this, there's a little bit more. They suggest that we read Judges 16, 23 to 31 and John 15, 1 to 17. There's always a little bit more to read if we pick up our Bibles. That then will take us through the Bible in a year. And that is sufficient food. And it's interesting that John 15, 1 to 17 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. God's words can only remain in us if we know what they are. I told you last year about my sister Margaret, who had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And I prayed for her. It was in August when she was over, and she was going to have all the operation and treatment and everything else. And I didn't know what to do. I could pray with her, which I found a bit difficult anyway, but I thought, she'll now go away, and that's nothing. And I wanted to give her something to sustain her. Because of my experience of the Word of God, I thought, I'll give her this little bottle, God's medicine bottle, which is from Proverbs 4, which is about how God's Word heals, and a Bible to read every day of the week. It's through the Bible in a year. And so she took it away, and I've been checking up on her through the year, and she's continued reading it every day. So 2 weeks ago, I spoke to her, because it's now nearly a year, and I said, are you still reading the Bible, Mark? She said, oh, yes. She said, it sometimes takes me a bit longer, because I keep wanting to look back to see where I had got that bit from before, and whether, and so she's really, and then she said, I know. She's been through all the treatment. She had the operation. She's now got to have some more treatment just to stop it, because it's a very aggressive cancer. But they might stop that soon. But she says, I'm better. And she says, I know that reading the Bible has been 99%, if not 100%, why I'm better. And so the Word of God has changed her. It's changed her mind, it's changed her outlook, it's changed what she believes, it's changed, plus her really wanting to know at the same time. I did suggest that she might pray the prayer at the back of here before she started, and I suggested that she ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word of God to her, and she's done that. The next step for her would be to get into fellowship. I haven't gone down that road yet. I'm not sort of pushing, but we do need to be with other Christians. We can't have a Christian life on our own, can we? 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So God's word does change us from the outside, from the inside out, if we believe. It changed that woman who was at Faldebrennen. It's changed my sister. It changes us. And the more that we have it in our lives, the more it changes us and gives us a new way of thinking, a new direction, a new hope, a new joy, a new peace, and a way of coping with all the things of life. God knows how much we need to feed our spirits with his word. He knows that we cannot live in this world and be strong and effective without knowing and proclaiming his promises and the many benefits which come from his word.
The Bible for us is a priceless gift, and we have the freedom to read it. Thank God. And so I just want to finish with a verse from Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Which is a prayer that Paul was praying for the Colossians. And he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Amen. Thank you.